The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi guys, it's me, Duncan Trussell, and you're about to see me again in a minute, but I forgot to plug my shows at the beginning of this podcast that you're about to watch or listen to. So I wanted to let you know I'm going to be in Houston tonight when you see this. This comes out on Thursday, July 16th. Come to the Houston Improv, where I will be doing stand-up at 7:30 p.m. And then I'm returning back to my home of Austin to do a weekend at the Mothership. I would love to see you there. Then after that, I'm going to be in Brookfield at the Milwaukee Improv. Come see me. That is July 23rd to the 25th. Now, get ready to see me again. Welcome to you, my glorious, eternal, beautiful soul, a glowing being, a mote of light erupting from the eternal time stream. You are in the eternal day stream. You've tuned in. You've locked in. Synchronicities will now abound in your life. You've done something, not just for you, but for the world by tuning in to this very important day stream. They tried to keep it from happening. They didn't want it to happen. They made phone calls. They walked around in huge marching bands singing weird songs in front of ancient churches. And it didn't stop today's day stream because you can't stop the day. And this is the one thing that they hate. And by them, I mean them. They don't like it. They don't want it. When the day comes, they go. And so it terrifies them. And here we are together, joining in union at last on what for many of you is probably a very sad day, because only a few days ago, the great American Senator Lindsey Graham, upon returning from a trip to a Ukrainian drone factory, unexpectedly died in his Washington, D.C. home, taking us all by surprise. No one could have predicted it. No one thought it was coming. Of all the things we thought we were going to lose this year, it was not Senator Lindsey Graham. No one thought it. No one saw it. No one knew. Many of us thought we were having a nightmare. I pinched the shit out of my balls. Like, wake up. Let me wake up, pinched and pinched and pinched and squeezed, yanked and pulled them like an old hairy leather balloon, wrapped them around my fist tight as I could and rolled my fist down towards my gunt. And it hurt, and I was awake, and nothing changed. The great Senator Lindsey Graham was gone. It's important to think a little bit about this man. A man who knew that the only way to peace was from war. From this, he knew war was the way, war was the answer, war was the destination, war is and will always be peace. And no one said it better than the great Senator Lindsey Graham in his innumerable, if I had to guess, pleas for war. We all began to understand something that many of us don't want to set our eyes upon, which is that if we want a better planet, a peaceful planet, a better America, a better galaxy, it could spread through the galaxy. It's all interconnected. The only way to do that is war, fighting, bombs dropping, soldiers stamping their beautiful boots upon the craniums of our enemies. And Lindsey Graham knew that, and he wasn't afraid to say it. And so he took a trip out to Ukraine, to Kiev. And, you know, we all know that to get there, you've got to take approximately like a 10, 15 hour train ride out of Poland to get to Kiev. He went into a Ukrainian drone factory, which coincidentally was blown up not long after his visit. Then he departed from Ukraine and got back on that train to Kiev, and then flew back to DC, where he passed away. And, you know, there's some pretty disgusting conspiracy theories out there right now. Josh, pull up the brave senator's tweet, you know, when he was being threatened by Iran, you just showed this fucking tweet. I sent it to you. I texted it to you. Okay. It's in your images there. You know, you might have problems, but you don't have the Iranian leadership wanting to assassinate you, which is something that I always use to cheer myself up when things aren't going my way. It's just a Graham tweet. I said, use this one. And
I got it.
Check this out, guys. This is just an example of he wasn't afraid to back down. Basically an American hero. Because a lot of us, you know, if we saw like Iran was wanting to assassinate us, we'd probably just go into hiding immediately. This was at the Ayatollah's funeral. Sooner or later, your heads will roll. Looks like they've got a target on Lindsey Graham's head. And as you could see, Lindsey Graham bravely said, at least they used a good photo of me, judge me by my enemies. And then 2 days later, he died. Now, the conspiracy out there that people, that you sick fucks are saying, like, wait, what? You mean they threatened to assassinate him at the funeral of the leader of Iran, who was blown up partially because of Lindsey Graham's brave stance on war, on defending war. He was a war defender. Doesn't that seem weird that like literally 2 days later, Lindsey Graham was dead? Guys, it happens all the fucking time. 15 of my neighbors died yesterday of the same thing, their heart, something in the heart. It just happens. Your heart, stuff happens. It's a valve. And I mean, have you ever had to work with a valve, like any kind of plumbing, anything? You ever had to work with a valve, Josh?
I usually call people for that to help out.
Dude, exactly. Exactly. It's that difficult. It's hard. Valves are complex, and the heart is a valve. And the senator's heart literally broke. His heart broke, which is broken all of our hearts. I sent that, by the way, to Sean Hannity to use, and no one even fucking responded. But I think that's a powerful statement on the great senator. Also, there's other people out there, fools, saying, wait a minute, if you look at the timeline, the train ride to Ukraine, from Poland, the train ride to Kiev, the flight there, the train ride back, the flight back, he couldn't possibly have returned to his home. There's just no way that could have happened. If you just look at the train and the time it takes, he would have had to have died before he got back to his home. Fucking hogwash. It's hogwash. We know what's going on at the CERN particle accelerator. They shut it down, but there's still time bending distortions happening all over the fucking planet. I went, not to too much information here, I went to use the bathroom today, sat down for just a normal bowel movement. I got up. It seemed like it was a normal amount of time. 7 hours had passed. 7 hours had passed. To me, it felt like a second. And a nice second, by the way. I've been taking fiber gummies, and they work great. So I'm sorry if I seem a little upset. You all know how I felt about Lindsey Graham. And and sometimes grief... so overpowering that you would rather get angry. It's a form of bypass, I guess, you know, anything to not feel the grief, anything to not feel that sadness, anything to not feel the reality of this changing universe that we live in. It's easy to walk through your day and think that you're going to wake up the next day. It's easy to go to a Ukrainian drone factory and hold a drone, get a photo op with a drone, and think that you're going to be breathing air the next day. And then the drone factory gets blown up, the one you were in, not that long before it got blown up. And it's just as this is the world, this is reality. Impermanence is everything that we are part of. Everything is impermanent. Everything is in flux. Everything is changing. And it's really hard for a lot of us to accept that level of truth when it stares us right in the face. It's very hard for us to deal with that. And so we get angry. But really, let yourself feel. If I have a message for you guys today, it's let yourself feel. Don't go numb. Don't do what I just did. Don't get angry. But let yourself feel that grief. Let yourself feel that sorrow and the heartbreak. And make art for Lindsay. Make art. I think that's what he would have wanted. He would have wanted all of us to make art and songs and poems. And so that's what Josh and I have been working on for what, the last like couple days?
Yeah, since the 11th. Since my son's actually in a deep depression because he's 14, and he was very excited to fight for Lindsay in 4 years. And now he's like, what do I do with my life?
Oh my God, that is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that angle. I just know you call me, you're upset.
Yeah.
I was upset. We were both like, you know, it's guys, you know, we don't want to cry in front of each other. So we were both like saying it was allergies, but I don't know what was going on. And
mine was allergies.
All right. Okay. All right. You had allergies. Well, I didn't. I'm not afraid to say that as a man, I cry sometimes. And I guess you could say I'm allergic to losing a hero. And so you said, we got to do something, Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
You said, we got to do something. And I said, well, what can we do? What can I possibly do? And you said, I'm an expert editor and you have the voice of an angel. What if we put those two things together and created a tribute to Lindsey Graham? And so go ahead and play it, Josh.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself while those around you crawled. They crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They set you on the treadmill and they made you change your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to climb to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to have known you, but I was just a kid. Your candle burned out long before your legend ever did. Loneliness was tough, the toughest role you ever played. Hollywood created a superstar, and pain was the price you paid. Even when you died, oh, the press still hounded you. All the papers had to say was that Marilyn was found in the news. And it seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to climb to when the rain sets. set in. Now a world like to have known you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before your legend ever did. Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself while those around you crawled. Goodbye, Norma Jean. From the young man in the 22nd row, who sees you as something more than sexual, more than just our Marilyn Monroe. And it seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to climb to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to know you, but I was just a kid. The candle burned out long before the legend ever did.
It looks like your allergies are back, Josh.
A little bit.
Well, this episode of the DTFH has been supported by Quince. I don't need to tell you that summer's here. You're hot. You're sweating. You got a chafe on your belly from the heat. That wet bulb chafe. And so you need some summer clothes. You need something you could wear in these brutally hot dog days of summer. And I want to invite you to check out Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday summer staples you actually live in all summer long. Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and the summer upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. Their tees are soft enough to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down, or even when they heat up, if you know what I mean. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And friends, if you want the ultimate endorsement for Quince, my brand new baby, my darling baby girl, wears Quince sleep sacks. For the non-breeders out there, you put a sleep sack on a baby. It's essentially like a wearable blanket. And obviously, you're only going to put the best sleep sack on your baby. But some of these people out there, they will rob you and sell you a super expensive sleep sack that isn't half as good as Quince's sleep sacks, which are probably at least half the price. And again, the Trussell babies wear Quince. Make your summer wardrobe easier, or your baby's summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/Duncan for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince.com/Duncan for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Duncan. Thank you, Quince. What better way to mourn than with the great Carl Jung. I happened upon this book the other day. It's called The Undiscovered Self by Carl Jung. Now, some of you maybe know who Carl Jung is. Josh, it's okay, man. Do you want me to get you?
No, I'm
do
good.
You need a break?
I'm good.
Some of you probably know who Carl Jung is. Some of you don't. Carl Jung was a student of Sigmund Freud. Now, I know most of you know who Freud is. Very controversial person these days. But Freud was basically the father, you could probably argue, one of the founding fathers of Western psychology. And so Jung was a student, and they eventually like split apart because Freud seemed to be more of a sort of materialist, whereas Jung was someone who believed that the human beings were more than just sort of like machines that could be broken into the levels that Sigmund Freud created. So much of what's really interesting is if you watch like the early Twilight Zones, if you watch the movie The Bad Seed, which is this great black and white movie from the day, you like all of Freud's theories were sort of oozing into mainstream culture and everybody was getting psychoanalyzed. The thing where you lay on the couch, psychology's changed a lot since then, by the way, but Freud's form of if you were to go to a Freudian psychologist, you're going to lay on a couch and you're going to fucking talk. And he's not going to say much. And they're going to take notes and they're going to do an analysis of you. And it's all going to boil down to the fact that you wanted to eat your mama's ass, something like that. You know, that's what it all boiled down. You wanted something to do with your mom. You wanted to bang your mom down. You wanted to suck your dad's dick, something like that. Now, it's important to note that Freud was addicted to cocaine. Now, that sounds crazy these days. Back then, cocaine was not viewed in the way that it is now. Cocaine was actually considered to be good for you. And so Freud was like shooting up at one point with blow. So this dude who came up with Western psychology was probably like more profoundly addicted to cocaine than your worst friend's worst friend. Like he was like just shooting up blow and listening to people talk about wanting to just suckle their mom's tits while jerking off on their dad's face. That's for real. And doesn't sound half bad if you think about it.
If you're on blow, yeah.
It sounds kind of awesome. You're like on cocaine with your fucking notebook. You just shot up a batch of like pharmaceutical grade legal cocaine. You're flying with the fucking angels. Someone's laying on your couch just talking about like their dad's bulge. This was the beginning of Western psychology, which then sort of broke apart into a lot of different forms of psychology. Some of you maybe still go to a Freudian therapist, but it's sort of modernized. And so that doesn't matter. Carl Jung was one of Freud's proteges. And, you know, I kind of remember like studying Jung when I was in school, but I pulled this book down and oh my God, it's so applicable to everything that's happening right now. I thought that I would make the great faux pas of streaming. There, you really can't do much worse when you're doing a stream on YouTube than pull out a crusty old Carl Jung book and read from it. Like, if you want to lose viewers, this is how you do it. This is a lesson in, like, just say goodbye to your audience. But some of you might actually like it. I was actually, as I'm reading this, I couldn't fucking believe how prescient Jung was. It blows my fucking mind. A lot of this old stuff, the stuff that came before the internet, the stuff that came before the algorithm, the stuff that came before the algorithmic age that we're currently living in, it's eerie reading it because even before all the stuff we're experiencing right now manifested, people like Jung saw it coming. They knew this was a danger. They knew that the kind of world that we're living in right now, which is a world where madness runs rampant, a world where psychic contagions are happening every day in the form of memes, in the form of people getting caught up in some Candace Owens bullshit, or getting obsessed with Nick Fuentes, or like regurgitating like TikTok sayings or slogans or all of these things. This was something Carl Jung predicted would happen. So I'm just going to read some shit from this. And you know, obviously he wasn't going to say like there will come a point where the craziest of us will have a technology that they can use to spread their psychic diseases out into the culture. And this will not be stopped, but will be actually enhanced by an algorithm. He could never have seen this coming. And that was, you know, sort of his... One of his opinions when it came to opinions, this is one of his theories when it came to human beings, is that we can only be conscious of our egos. We could so the you that you think you are, that is a tiny little part of you. That's not all of you. And so there's this subconscious, right? That everything that you don't know about yourself. And this is the thing that comes out of you in bad moments where you're like, what the fuck was that? Oh no, it happened again, that thing. Or when you have the weird dreams where like just insane shit happens in your dreams and you wake up like, what the fuck was that? That's the great ocean of your unknown self. And so, Jung came up with the concept of the collective unconscious, which is that if the individual has this aspect of themselves that they're completely blind to, that is yet sort of informing everything they do, and then that creates a collective version of that, which is what all the myths arise from, all the images that we see, all the sacred archetypes and all these things are emerging from this sort of collective unknown aspect. And so, look, I'll just read it to you now.
Before you do that, let me refresh the stream.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think your internet's fucking up.
Reload. It was after the song, it started glitching.
We're back. They got us. They tried to take us down. Josh wouldn't let them. You can't take us down. They didn't like my tribute to Lindsey Graham. That's what it was. They don't want us mourning. They want us just to forget about it, but we will not forget it here on the Daystream. For the next 300 days, we will play that tribute to Lindsey Graham for the rest of the year. We'll play that at least through the summer. We're going to play that every time I stream. And that, friends, is a promise. See, I can find this part. You know, it's crazy. I got to start reading. What will become of our civilization and of man himself if the hydrogen bombs begin to go off, or if the spiritual and moral darkness of state absolutism should spread over Europe? We have no reason to take this threat lightly. Everywhere in the West, there are subversive minorities who, sheltered by our humanitarianism and our sense of justice, hold the incendiary torches ready with nothing to stop the spread of their ideas except the critical reason of a single, fairly intelligent, mentally stable stratum of the population. One should not, however, overestimate the thickness of this stratum. It varies from country to country in accordance with national temperament. Also, it is regionally dependent on public education and is subject to the influence of acutely disturbing factors of a political and economic nature. Taking plebiscites as a criterion, that sounds like a very smart way of insulting people. One could, on an optimistic estimate, put its upper limit at about 40% of the electorate. A rather more pessimistic view would not be unjustified either, since the gift of reason and critical reflection is not one of man's outstanding peculiarities, and even where it exists, it proves to be wavering and inconstant. The more so, as a rule, the bigger the political groups are. The mass crushes out the insight and reflection that are still possible with the individual, and this necessarily leads to doctrinaire and authoritarian tyranny if ever the constitutional state should succumb to a fit of weakness. Rational argument can be conducted with some prospect of success only so long as the emotionality of a given situation does not exceed a certain critical degree. If the effective temperature rises above effective, not effective, rises above this level, the possibility of reasons having any effect cease, and in its place is taken by slogans and chimerical wish fantasies. That is so fucking real. That is to say, a sort of collective possession results, which rapidly develops into a psychic epidemic. In this state, all those elements whose existence is merely tolerated as asocial under the rule of reason come to the top. Such individuals are by no means rare curiosities to be met with only in prisons and lunatic asylums. For every manifest case of insanity, there are, in my estimation, at least 10 latent ones who seldom get to the point of breaking out openly, but whose views and behavior, for all their appearance and normality, are influenced by unconsciously morbid and perverse factors. There are, of course, no medical statistics on the frequency of latent psychosis for understandable reasons. But even if their number should amount to less than 10 times that of the manifest psychosis of manifest criminality, the relatively small percentage of the population figures they represent is more than compensated for the peculiar dangerousness of these people. Their mental state is that of a collectively excited group ruled by affective judgments and wish fantasies. In a state of collective possession, they are the adapted ones, and consequently, they feel quite at home in it. They know from their own experience the language of these conditions, and they know how to handle them. Anyway, the point is, he called it. He called it. We only lost 20 people with that. He called it. That's not bad. I expected it to be way worse than that. He called it. This thing that we're all experiencing right now, where you're like watching the news, where you're looking at your fucking phone, and you're like, what am I? I don't fit in here. None of this makes sense to me. Why are people acting like this? Why are people talking like this? Why is everyone trumpeting bizarre shit? It's exactly what he was talking about. Josh, pull up. I want to find the statistic for literacy in high schools. You want to see something really fucked up. You know, he's talking about all that needs to happen is like the education systems stop working. Almost half of high school seniors, testing below basic reading levels. Fucking seniors in high school can't read, man. Like, what the fuck? So the moment this starts degrading, where people can't read, then what do they have access to? They don't have access to some old, musty fucking Carl Jung book. They have access to TikTok, the algorithm. That's it. That's where they're going to get their information from. And then the algorithm is grabbing the craziest among us and amplifying them, giving the impression that this is normal. And so what's that going to do? For some of you, you're just going to put your phone down like an intelligent person and go take a walk. But for a lot of people, the latent psychotics that Jung is talking about, that latent thing inside of you, it gets drawn out. This is normal now. Not only is it normal, you're going to get a shit ton of views. People are going to love watching you rub your shit and period blood all over your fucking face while dancing to Lady Gaga. You can make money off of that. And so then you add to it the next thing he talks about, which I won't read, but I'll try to in an idiot way summarize, is that the next thing that starts happening is that people in this freaked out state, they want to connect to something, anything. But in this freaked out state, getting conditioned and brainwashed by their phones, they cut themselves off from God. This is Carl Jung says this. They cut themselves off from the church, from God, from Buddhism, from religion. That's all a bunch of bullshit. That's all a bunch of antiquated old school crap. It's nonsense. Don't even fucking believe. Thoughts and prayers. Fuck you. What does that do? So what do you have after that? You cut yourself off from the universal mind, universal consciousness, or even from the contemplation that there could be something bigger than you. What do you have left? The state. That's what Carl Jung was talking about. The God, God becomes the state. God, but you can't fucking read. You can't fucking read. And so you start watching Fox News. You start watching CNN. You start watching pure state propaganda, and that becomes your religion. That becomes your religion. And are we not there, friends? This is where we are right now. That's what's happening. It's the craziest shit ever. It explains everything. The sudden explosion of like political people in the world, sudden obsession with Trump, sudden obsession with the machinations of politics, it doesn't matter what side you're on, by the way. If your mind is spending the majority of time thinking about the state, that's your religion. That's your mantra. That's what you're into. You're worshiping this bizarre idol that's made up of Lindsey fucking Grahams. You're worshiping this fucking thing that like is the most unreal of unreal things and just freely fucking lies. And you bow to it. And then the worst thing about it is that you defend it. Anyone who speaks out against the state, anybody in the state is the sum total. It's not the left or the right. It's all of it. It's all of it. Anyone who speaks out against this bullshit gets ostracized. And so this plays into a part of people that is easy to manipulate. Like if you're someone standing outside, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but a lot of people right now are getting in trouble, not for being political, but for not being political. They just fucking roasted, what's his name? That comic, what's his name? It's like a super famous comic, wants to start a theme park in Nashville. You know what I'm talking
about? Nate Bargatze.
Nate Bargatze, sweetest dude ever. Just got roasted for not talking about politics. And this is blasphemy, by the way. If the state has become the religion, then not talking about politics is akin to not saying your Hail Marys or whatever. What is it? Hail Marys, Josh?
Yeah, and Our Fathers.
And Our Fathers. The new Our Father is whatever your fucking political opinion is. And if you're not voicing that publicly all the fucking time, then you are a blasphemer. And this isn't coming from me. This is fucking Carl Jung. Come at him. If you're not completely up the state's ass defending one side or the other, what's going on with you? You do understand what's going on, right? How can you not have an opinion? This is the craziest shit ever. So either you like stick to your guns, you don't say anything, or you get sucked in because you're terrified of the mob. You don't want to get ripped apart, eaten alive by these fucking cultists. And it's just so weird that somebody, I don't know when this was, 50s, I think, 40. Look up Carl Jung on Wikipedia.
He died 61.
1875 to 90. Yeah, it's probably wrote this in the 50s or the 40s. I could look on the book, but I don't want to turn around. It's not weird. All I have to do is reach behind me. I don't even want to do that.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What was the book called?
God damn it.
Sorry.
The Undiscovered Self. And you don't have to look it up. I'm pretty sure it'll say it in here when it was written. I'll read a little bit more.
1957, yeah.
Here, I'll just read a little bit from the chapter, The Age of Cucks. It's so weird he called this stuff. Currently, 1 out of 10 human beings are cucks. But within the next 30 to 40 years, I expect this number to rise to 1 out of 2 cucks in any given population. There will be all kinds of cucks trying to mog each other, not with their looks, but with their cuckoldry. This will be the age of the cucks. This was written in 1950. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he already knew that this was coming, and it's astounding to me.
Well, his dad was cucking him with his mom, so.
Well, his dad was a cuck.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know if he meant it in a negative way. It feels like he meant it in a negative way, but Carl Jung's dad just was an actual, like, not cuck in the current slang, but, like, loved to watch Carl Jung's mom get banged down all day long. Loved it so much. Carl Jung writes about that, My Father the Cuck. You can read that in one of his later books. But yeah, that doesn't change the fact that he was maybe one of the most brilliant humans that ever lived. And it's definitely worth checking out The Undiscovered Self by C.G. Jung. Look, and check out his cool fucking logo there. Pretty badass. A little bit like Chanel. Pull up Chanel real quick. You got to wonder, did Chanel get their logo from Carl Jung? Is that even possible?
There it is.
What the fuck? Am I off here? Look at that. How is it that Chanel's logo is Carl Jung's logo? You see this all over the place.
1925. Maybe he got it from
them. He stole it from Chanel. That motherfucker. I can't imagine that. Look up Chanel logo 1925. See if it changed. That's crazy. Now we're getting to something important. Well, I'll be damned. Look up Carl Jung logo. That's crazy. He stole his logo from Chanel. Well, that's not it. I've seen this before on different books he's done. He's done books. Carl Jung done a lot of books. All right, maybe it's just on this book. Maybe they look there. Look. Carl Jung Institute. We got you. You stole it from Chanel. Holy shit.
1948 is when he created the Institute.
I'll never read him again. I'll never read another fucking sentence from Carl Jung. He's a logo thief, and he was always talking about the logos. What a piece of shit. What an abject piece of shit.
I think he was racist, too.
What do you mean?
He believed that that we were animals, that we didn't... we had, like, a group thing going on, and that Europeans were different.
Did he really think that?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. He's a piece of shit. Sorry I read him. We'll delete that from the episode. I shouldn't have read him. All right, we got to go back now. We've got some interesting things to show you. I'm going to have to get Josh to look it up. And Josh, while you look this up, this is super important, but I don't know if you'll be able to find it. And these are things that I need to start saving, which I haven't been saving. But can you look on YouTube? There's been a new Bigfoot sighting that I feel like is pretty important.
Oh, perfect. And you, man, you're getting a lot of memberships.
What?
Yeah, just to let you know, Walker.
Walker G12!
He's given 40 memberships so far.
What?
Yeah.
What? Walker G12, you got me stammering over here. Walker G12, it's people like you who make me think of Lindsey Graham. It's people like you who keep Lindsey Graham's dream alive. And I want to thank you so much on behalf of all of us here at the Daystream. And the people you see Josh, you don't see our huge team over here, 25 people, 24 of them are unpaid interns, but we will get you paid eventually. Right, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are doing a great job. And, you know, the key, your membership donations keep the lights on here. And they go off a lot. I'll admit it. They go off a lot. Paying the power bill down here, it's how much do you think we pay a month for
that? At least 4.2K.
4.2K a month just to keep the lights on. And so thank you. Truly thank you. And if you did receive a membership, go back to who gave us the memberships here?
The membership was by Walker G12.
Be sure to thank Walker G12 if he gave you a membership, because what Walker G12 gave you is more than just a YouTube membership. What Walker G12 just gave you is a ticket on the Daystream Day train. And that day train is on its way to paradise. Some of you have probably already grokked what we're doing here. Some of you don't. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I don't need to. If you know, you know. You know where we're going. You know how the universe works. You understand it's an infinite universe with infinite time streams. You know we don't have to stay in this rapidly degrading time stream. Now free of Lindsey Graham. There'll never be another Lindsey Graham speech. There'll never be another Lindsey Graham plea for money on Fox News. It's gone now. But maybe not for some of us. Maybe not for some of us. Maybe we can redirect the train. You can't really do that with trains. I probably should have said like car instead of train. I guess you could build tracks like way ahead and time when you switch tracks, but it seems like car would have been a better thing to say. Now, I don't know that this is the one I was looking for here. You know what? Hang on, guys. One second. Pull up the, Josh, pull up the video we play when we start. I'm going to find this for Josh and get a little bit more organized here. Nobody fucking leave.
Do you want me to put the Lindsey Graham one, or do you want me to
play Lindsey Graham again.
Okay.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself while those around you crawled. They crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They sat you on the treadmill and they made you change your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to climb to when the rain set in. And I would have liked to have known you, but I was just a kid. Your candle burned out long before your legend ever did. Loneliness was tough, the toughest role you ever played. Hollywood created a superstar, and pain was the price you paid. Even when you died, oh, the press still hounded you. All the papers had to say was that Marilyn was found in the news. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. Nevin.
All right. So we're back, as you can see. And those of you who follow the news as I do are probably already aware of this. We have the most clear image of Bigfoot ever taken. Don't show it yet, Josh.
Okay.
Now, I know a lot of you out there are the sorts of people who think that Bigfoot isn't real. I know what I'm dealing with here. I know many of you out there, I know what you do. You think you can see, but you're blind as a bat. And there's nothing more dangerous than a blind man who thinks they can see. There's nothing more dangerous to the world than a blind person who thinks they have 20/20 vision. I'll just get in the car, drive around. I can see just fine. But all they're seeing is their own minds. They're not driving down the road of life. They're driving down the road of their own distortion. They're driving down a road that's essentially virtual reality, a series of images that they overlay on top of reality as it is. They're driving their life cars down the highway, and they're running people over left and right, hurting people. They lack compassion. They lack the sensibilities that come the moment you actually begin to see reality as it is. In part of being blind and yet thinking you can see is not believing in Bigfoot. In fact, if you don't believe in Bigfoot, for all of you listening right now, I'm talking to you, Carol. I'm talking to you, William. I'm talking to you, David. I'm talking to you, Alex. I'm talking to you. You might wonder, how do I know that you're listening? How do I know that you're watching? I know that you're watching and I know that you're listening because I can see. I'm not blind. And I know you don't believe in Bigfoot. But the fact that I just named you should wake some part of you up. How did he do that? It's not that hard. It only seems crazy when you're blind, when you're spiritually veiled, when your third eye is calcified and crusted over like the sandaled foot of some old crusty beach hag out there putting pure coconut oil on her grizzled tits. I want to scrape the calluses off the feet of your pineal gland and suck on your toes after they're pedicured by the Lord. And part of that is you got to open your mind. Now, Bigfoot, also known as Gigantopithecus, is very, very real. I have talked to people who have seen the skunk ape. I'm not so lucky. I never got to see the skunk ape. I haven't seen orbs. And I've talked to people who are liars, who just say some bullshit about seeing Bigfoot. I talked to a lady once. She said that she thought she saw a monkey, that a monkey had escaped from a train. I don't know why she thought it came from a train, like a circus train. And that was her first thought. She's out on a hike, looked over, thought it was a monkey, and realized she's in the fucking Pacific Northwest, deep in the woods. There's no circus trains running to Portland. And then she realized, oh my God, I am seeing a Bigfoot. A lot of people say Bigfoot like there's only one. There's many of them out there. They're more than like, they're able to shift their frequencies. That's why you can't track them or see them or find their shit laying around or whatever. They shift frequencies. You could too if you wanted to. It's not that hard. You could disappear, go invisible. It's one of the first things you learn when you're studying magic. It's not that hard. But go ahead and pull this up. Get ready to get shocked.
Was this a video or an image? Because I got an image.
Just show the image.
All right.
There it is. The most clear, that is a Bigfoot baby, by the way. That is not an adult Bigfoot. That's a Bigfoot baby. It looks like the Bigfoot baby has gotten trapped in brambles or is walking through brambles for some reason, maybe foraging. They like to play with sticks. Bigfoot children love playing with sticks and arranging sticks in piles that if you understand how these Bigfoot puppies play, you can identify the sticks anytime I'm on a hike. I can at least see that. I'm like, oh, there's Bigfoot children about playing with sticks. But they can blink out of reality, which is why you don't see them. This one was caught by a trail cam. You can look down. If you look down at the very bottom of the picture, you will see a deer's head. So the Bigfoot baby has noticed the deer. They're probably talking. They can talk to animals. They ride deer, by the way. He's probably calling the deer over to ride the deer out of the woods or into a cave, which is why a lot of times you'll find deer in caves standing on sticks is because Bigfoot children have ridden them. Okay, so we covered that.
They're also more dangerous. I don't know if people have heard that.
Oh.
The children.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. If you see, anyone knows that if you see a baby fucking bear out in the woods, even though they're probably, pull up a picture of a baby bear. I don't think there's many things cuter than a baby grizzly bear. Pull up a picture of a baby grizzly bear. Just pull up the cubs. Don't show the mother. Look at that. Look at how cute that is. Like, you see that in the woods. How do you not stop to pet it? How do you not stop to pick it up? How do you not stop to comb it, to kiss it, to love on that thing, to hold it and hug it, make it your own? But you shouldn't, because wherever you see baby grizzlies, there's a fucking grizzly bear. Now pull up a picture of a grizzly bear. Guys, I know you know what a grizzly bear looks like, but just show it real quick, Josh. Look at that. That's what they turn into. And so you avoid baby bears. But this episode of the DTFH has been supported by Cash App. My kids are getting to the age where they need to learn about money. They're saving up money. We got them these like weird little safes that they've forgotten the combinations to. So there's just money in there that I'm not sure how to get out. I think I'm going to crack it open with a hammer, maybe. But it's amazing to watch kids start learning about money. One of my kids has saved up $150. And he told me that he heard there's a service for $200. They will come to your house and they will camouflage you so that you blend in with the walls of your house. I don't know what this is. I'm not going to let them into my house, but that's the kind of thing my kids want to spend money on. What's cool about Cash App is they now offer managed accounts for kids age 6 to 12 that grow with them all the way to adulthood, all with no subscription fees, because building money habits shouldn't cost extra. And let's face it, friends, we're entering into a cashless society. My kids will probably be using their thumbprints to buy stuff in the next few years, or their retinal scans or something like that. But with Cash App, you could set spending limits and you can lock or unlock their Cash App Visa card anytime for your own app. Automate their allowance and track the flow of money in and out together. Kids can start building real saving habits early by earning interest on savings. So when you're explaining the difference between spending now versus saving for later, they can actually see their money grow. And their money won't get stuck in Cash App like it currently is in the cheap safes I ordered off of Temu. Whether it's birthday money from grandma, allowance for finally cleaning their own room, or saving up for something they really want, you see it all and help guide the decisions along the way. Their savings, habits, and history carry forward every step of the way, from a parent-managed account at 6 to a teen account at 13 to a full account at 18. If you're ready to start teaching money habits without adding more stress to your plate, download Cash App and set up a managed account for your child today. For a limited time, new Cash App customers who are parents can use our exclusive referral code FAMILY10 to earn $10. Download Cash App, enter the referral code in your profile, send $5 to a friend within 14 days, and you will receive $10. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa Debit Flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank, N.A., pursuant to a license for Visa USA Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton Debit Flex card, and Bancorp Debit Flex card. Savings and offers provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Parent and legal guardians can open a managed account for kids 6 to 12. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast. For full disclosures. Thank you, Cash App. Pull up again the picture of the baby Bigfoot. Not so cute. Honestly, if I saw that, I would not want to touch it. It looks dirty. It probably has fleas. It's pasty. But the difference between a baby Bigfoot and an adult Bigfoot is a baby Bigfoot will fuck you up. Look at those claws. They'll happily rip your entrails out and wrap them like a wreath around a tree and suckle your shit out of your guts. They love doing that. They're fierce. They're ferocious. They're deadly. It's an evolutionary trait. And then over time, they become wise and calm and sweet, and they turn into the Bigfoot we all know and love. By the way, if you're looking for a great book and you're into cryptids, pull up Come for Bigfoot, Josh. Virginia Wade. I've talked about this before, but she's a prolific writer, and Come for Bigfoot is an extremely erotic series about a pretty intense BDSM style relationship between Bigfoot and the main character, and it turns into more of a romance, but it starts off it's pretty rough.
Isn't this the original Beauty and the Beast?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great review of it. I mean, I think that's a great review, clearly inspired by Beauty and the Beast. Pull up an excerpt from Come for Bigfoot. I'll just read it real quick since we're talking about Bigfoot.
Sure. Where would I find that?
Just look up Google search. You know what? I could do that. Hang on, let me just find it. I actually happen to have the audiobook here, but I don't think I could play it. I guess we could cut it out.
There you go.
Hold on, I'll just pull it up on my Audible real quick. We could play it from my computer and then we can cut it. I don't know if I'm allowed to play this or not. 1 second, guys, let me find this. Just hang on, everybody.
Is there a movie coming out for it?
What?
Is there a movie coming out for it?
That is genius. I doubt it. I doubt it because, well, I can pull it up on my phone. That's what I'll do. Hang on 1 second.
Thank you, Auger, for another 10 memberships.
Are you fucking kidding me? 10 memberships?
10 more.
Well, don't go anywhere. I need to talk to you. You stick around for 1 second. Let me just dig around here and find this real quick.
The old lady left a tray behind. She muttered as she left the room.
Great narrator.
If she escapes, it's your own damn fault. Chapter 5. Leonard and I slept before the fire. I was snuggled in his fur, his heart beating against me. It was surprisingly comfortable being this close to a man-like animal. He awoke in the night, and a long, seeking finger began to slide over my pussy.
Okay.
There's 16 books total.
16! A wealth! Listen, friends, I'm not sponsored by Audible, but if you're looking for a great Audible series and an incredible narrator, a great reader, this is where you want to go. This is for your next road trip. Just head so you know what? You could do a road trip based on Come for Bigfoot. This is one of my dreams. Take a road trip up to the Pacific Northwest listening to the entire Come for Bigfoot series. That's a great, great road trip because another thing about Bigfoot is they are erotic creatures, and clearly the author recognizes this, maybe has encountered a Bigfoot or something like that. But generally, when you hear reports of Bigfoot, there is, if people are being honest, they're like, I wanted to fuck it, which is so, so strange. They never, but look at the way, pull up the original Bigfoot footage that we're all familiar with. Take a look at the way this creature walks. Tell me you wouldn't want to fillet, you wouldn't want to suck its dick. And I don't think like common definitions of heterosexuality or homosexuality apply when it comes to Bigfoot. Pull up that video. Look at that thing's ass. Look at that. Looking back, like it feels like what we don't know about this video. Play it one more time. It feels like what we don't know about this video is the people who filmed it definitely just blew Bigfoot. Look at that look back. That he just got his dick sucked. And that look back is like, thanks.
Yep.
Am I wrong?
No.
We all know that. Anyone who's been in the woods and gotten a blowjob and walked away from the campsite of the people who pleasured you, you do that look back. It's just like, it's called a look back, a mountain look back. You look back like, thanks. You know, it's weird if you don't look back. I've had my feelings hurt. Because sometimes they don't look back and you're like, all right, fuck you. Get out of my woods, you piece of shit. Let's go into the comments. For those of you listening, I apologize. This is on YouTube if you want to watch it. No doubt you will after hearing the scintillating powerful explosion of ideas I just placed in your brain. John Riddle promoting my shows for me. Thank you. Duncan is going to swing some comedy hog in Austin this weekend. Go get him, brother. I'll be there in my star-spangled Speedo and hot pink mothership halter top coated in a thin sheen of SEMA sweat. I can't wait to see you. Thank you so much. You know, it would be weird to do a dress code for my shows, but obviously you know that's what I would like the entire audience to be wearing. So I appreciate that, and thank you so much for the donation. Thanks for coming to the show. For those of you in Austin, come to see me at the mothership. Josh!
Yeah.
You're going to be going up.
Yep.
Josh himself will be there.
I'll be there.
Let's keep a member here. This is like a bizarre conspiracy among my members asking me to play this game Undertale. And I'll be honest, I looked at it. I dug it up and was like looking at it. And it looks great, but I can't play video games. I really can't. I can't do that to myself. It's horrible. I started revisiting Diablo 4 and was like, what am I fucking doing? I can't. So the last thing I need is some kind of like esoteric, obscure, weird, cool video game that's just going to ruin my life and my children's life. You don't want your kids to see you addicted to video games. At some point, you can't do that. It's fucked up. Yeah, Dan, I've heard of Will. I thought it was Wilhelm Reich, not William. But yeah, I've heard of Reich. I know about him. Very, very controversial. I never got into him too much. But I remember like briefly studying him when I was in college. Pull him up, though. William Reich. He's fascinating. Pull up his Wikipedia. Didn't he create some kind of chamber or something you get in? Was an Austrian doctor of medicine and psychoanalyst, a member of the second generation of analysts after Freud, the author of several influential books, The Impulsive Character, The Function of the Orgasm, Character Analysis, and The Mass Psychology of Fascism. Ooh, that sounds good. He became one of the most radical figures in the history of psychiatry. Scroll down a little bit. Let's get to his cool shit. Scroll all the way. Oh, wait, here you go. Reich moved to Oslo, Norway in 1934, blah, blah, blah. During his 5 years in Oslo, he had coined the term orgone energy. That's it, orgone. That's what I was trying to remember. From orgasm and organism for the notion of life energy. In 1940, he started building orgone accumulators, modified Faraday cages that he claimed were beneficial for cancer patients. He claimed that his laboratory, cancer mice. I had a friend who had one of these fucking things. And it was crazy. You could feel it when you were in the room with it, but I'm, you know, susceptible to bullshit and it could have just been me, but I felt like I could feel it. It apparently cures cancer. And this led to newspaper stories about sex boxes that cured cancer. Sign me the fuck up. Scroll down. This is interesting. Over 6 tons of his publications were burned by order of the court. What? I didn't know that. Holy shit. First of all, how prolific is this man if he had 6 tons of publications? But to have them burned, why? Let's scroll down some more. Keep scrolling. Keep going. You got to assume they were all on blow, right? If you're friends with someone who's like shooting up coke, you're probably... Here we go. This is the good stuff. Reich published a series of papers on the idea of orgastic potency, the ability to release the emotions from the muscles and lose the self in an uninhibited orgasm, an idea that Freud came to call Reich's Steckenpferd hobby horse. Reich argued that psychic health and the ability to love depended on orgastic potency, the full discharge of the libido, sexual release in the sex act must correspond to the excitement which leads up to it. He wrote, it's not just a fuck. It is not just a fuck. Not the embrace in itself, not the intercourse. It is the real emotional experience of the loss of your ego, of your whole spiritual self. He argued that orgastic potency was the goal of character analysis. So,
is this sex magic?
Well, yeah, it's tantra. I mean, it's like tantra. It's like this idea pops up for millennia. You know, it's in Taoism. Like, pull up like Taoism orgasm. In Taoism, orgasms are viewed as sacred energy exchanges used to cultivate physical vitality and spiritual health. These ancient arts, often termed sexual kung fu, by who? Distinguish between a physical climax and the redirection of sexual energy up the spine to nourish the brain and achieve higher consciousness. Jing, sexual energy. Taoists view sexual fluids as physical manifestations of vital life force. Ancient teachings emphasize conserving the energy rather than depleting it. No fap. The yin-yang balance. Sex is a dynamic exchange where a man, active yang, and a woman, receptive yin, harmonize their energies. Traditional Taoist texts encourage men to experience sexual climax without ejaculating. So this is like something you could train yourself to do.
Yeah, isn't that that? It's not the cross, but it's that the Egyptian thing where it has that circle up top and it looks like a cross, and then you unk your. It's called an unk or something.
An unk.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, so you're supposed to use your sexual energy, and that unk it puts it back into your.
Yeah, right.
Body.
You like reabsorb your jizz. Basically, you come in yourself somehow.
Yeah.
And there's a way to train yourself to do that. Well, look, there it is. Let's read it. The lock. At the peak of an orgasm, the man halts thrusting and applies physical pressure. Wow. The three-finger method to the perineum to stop the physical emission. Through deep breathing and intent, this energy is circulated upwards to revitalize his organs. Couldn't he just eat it? For real. Why do you have to prod your taint? Couldn't you just eat it? Let's go in the chat and see if any Taoists know the answer to that. Why not just eat it? Like,
maybe it's like weed. It doesn't affect you the same way. You know, if you eat weed compared to you smoke it.
Well, if you eat weed, it's more powerful.
Yeah, that's true.
If you eat your own jizz, it's probably more powerful. COVID survivor says finger up the ass. Tone says semen retention will summon a succubus. Well, is that good or bad? I mean, I don't know. I've never tried that before. I just eat my jizz. There's not some button on your taint where your jizz shoots up into your brain, is there? I mean, it's worth a shot. I'll try it. Sounds hard to do. Time it out right. I wonder if it feels different. Have you ever tried that? You ever jabbed into your own taint to hold your jizz in, Josh?
No, I know. Mm-mm.
Would you?
My taint is very sensitive due to a bike accident, so that's why I wouldn't do it.
What do you mean? Like, it's still sensitive?
It's still sensitive to this day. I didn't have a seat on my bike.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
You were doing that adventure biking everybody was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. You guys could do that. That's crazy. Like, you just clench that pole in your butt, right? And you just can ride around.
I didn't use, I'll say this.
You clenched it in your butt.
It just helps you maneuver better when you take your hands off.
You just feel the road.
And then you're able to, like, you know, rotate the bike.
Yeah. I'm not judging you at all. It makes sense. Like, you get more of a sense of, like, the road. You can really feel the road.
Yeah.
I think there was a movement in, like, professional biking and that they wanted to do that for racing. And then they had to, it's like steroids because the people who were doing that always won.
Yeah.
And like nobody wants to see somebody riding around with like a bike pole up their ass, like publicly. No offense. Well, thank you so much for the super chat.
You had a few more.
Let's see what we have here. Oh yeah. Walker, again, thank you so much for the gift memberships. That's incredibly, insanely generous. How many did Walker give total?
10, 20, 20? 30,
Jesus
40,
Christ. 60. 60 gift memberships? What are you? You must be a Bitcoin person. Thank you so much. This is an important question from Sensaponics. Who will care for Lindsay's homunculus? Marco Rubio? Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, these are the things that I think we should think of probably after the funeral. I don't know. You know, I do know that there are, what, three homunculuses of Lindsey Graham that are still in a deep underground military bunker. I do know, I mean, I hope they're there. Easily they could be gone. The way things are going these days, it's like where they lost the moon footage. You know, they easily could have lost his homunculus. I don't know. But whoever cares for the homunculus, I'm sure they'll make the right choice, because we all know that the homunculus could be theoretically regrown and we could get another Graham. But I just don't even want to think about that, because it gets your hopes up. And honestly, the world has just been so strange lately, you know, and so disappointing. Thank you, A24 Mikey. I appreciate that. Beth, Young Seven Sermons to the Dead. He liked Abraxas. Thanks for a great year. Thanks for watching, Beth. Well, shit. We did it again. Another day stream has come. Another day stream is gone. Here's some news, important news. I have my new studio. I already sent Josh a picture of the empty studio. My plan this week is to get all my gear moved back in there, meaning that we can start night streaming again. And Josh is going to help me set it up, so it's going to look better. It won't have any more problems. For those of you who watch my night streams, you know we were beset by difficulty in every single one. My goal is to make it pristine audio, perfect sound, perfect video, and no more of these pesky mistakes. I want to be able to call up the Nightman whenever I want. Just press a button, he's there. All these things are going to happen, but I got to move shit in the new studio. So that's happening this week. I might even be able to do a night stream this week. Also, I'm coming to Houston, I think.
Thursday, right?
Thursday. I'm going to be in Houston, come out to Houston, then go back to Austin, to the mothership. There's still some tickets left for those shows, which in the past have always sold out. So get your tickets in advance. Thank you for watching. Thank you for the very generous gift memberships. The Super Chats. Rest in peace, Lindsey Graham. God bless you all.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.